Like this morning to turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 35 through verse 37 of Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans chapter 8 is a chapter that spells out very clearly God's saving grace. It's a chapter that identifies and defines God's purpose of grace as it is in Jesus Christ. It is a chapter that declares what God has done for sinners in Christ. And not only that, but why he's done it. Paul, in this chapter, reiterates the blessings and the absolute security of those who know the Lord as Savior, those who are saved. He speaks of salvation as something that is powerful, something that is relevant, and something that is very life-changing. He begins the chapter by telling us that those who are saved, in verse 1, that there is no condemnation. And he ends the chapter by telling us those same individuals will never be separated from the love of God. The reason that there is no condemnation for the saved, and the reason there is no separation from God for the saved, is Christ. That's the reason. We see that. Notice in verse 1, it reads, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, and that's qualified by those who are in Christ Jesus. And in verse 39, we read that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in, this love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So there is such a thing has no condemnation. But again, it is in Christ Jesus. And there is such a thing as the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we see Jesus is the reason for no condemnation. He is the reason for no separation from God. The position in Christ Jesus makes all the difference in the world, makes all the difference in your life, and will make all the difference in eternity. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and verse 13, we read concerning the saved that there was a time when we were without Christ, there in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. But then in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ. Again, that makes all the difference. And everyone here today, you are either in Christ or you aren't. You either are under condemnation or there is no condemnation. Now, human language cannot express the depth of wretchedness, the depth of desperation in those two words, without Christ. There's nothing worse. And there's nothing perhaps that better expresses, better summarizes the condition and position of the unsaved sinner without Christ. Because to be without Christ is to be without all the spiritual blessings that are only in Christ. To be without Christ is to be at enmity with God. There is no reconciliation outside of Jesus Christ. To be without Christ is to be spiritually restless. There is no spiritual rest. There is no spiritual rest for the weary soul without Christ. To be without Christ is to be in danger of dying in your sins, because without Christ, there is no safety. To be without Christ, all is lost. To be without Christ, there is no hope. So you see, there's to be without Christ pretty much sums up the condition of the lost sinner. To be without Christ means that there is no forgiveness of sin. It means that you are unacceptable before God. It means that all your religious acts, all your religious doings are unacceptable before God outside of Jesus Christ. So we are either without Christ or we are in Christ. And we see here in Romans chapter 8 that if we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. And we also see that there is such a thing as God loving us in Christ. There's nothing lovable in and of ourselves. If God is going to love us, He has to love us in Christ. And when He loves us that way, there is no separation. There's nothing that can pull us away from that love. So in Romans 8, Paul enumerates the blessings of those who are in Christ, those who are saved. And he says, first of all, for those individuals, there is no condemnation. Now, who are these individuals? Well, they are identified by the fact, there in Romans 8 and verse 1, that they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That is, you can tell who they are by the way they live their lives. We read also in verse 2 of Romans 8 that they are free from the law or the dominion of sin and death. Those who are in Christ have been set free from the dominion of sin. They have been set free from the dominion of death. We read also in verse 6 that they have been given a spiritual mind which results in life and peace. These are the blessings of being in Christ. We read also in verse 9 that God dwells within these individuals, in the person of the Spirit of God and in the person of the Spirit of Christ. He is referred to in verse 11 as the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. So you and I that are saved, you and I that are in Jesus Christ, we have no condemnation. We have been set free from the dominion of sin. We have been set free from the dominion of death. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us, one and the same. We have the Spirit of the very one who raised up Jesus from the dead. And through that Spirit, according to Romans 8 and verse 13, we're able to do some things that we would not be able to do were it not for the Holy Spirit. So the saved, we also read, are led by the Spirit, and they are the sons of God. We read that in verse 14. So the saved individual also has assurance. The Spirit that indwells us assures us. We read that in verses 15 through verse 17. But in verse 18, notice we read the words, the sufferings of this present time. And though the child of God does experience the sufferings of this time, you notice also in that verse, there is a glory that shall be revealed in us. Don't you see, those who are saved, those who are in Jesus Christ, though they have to experience the sufferings of this present time, they have a glory that awaits them. We are blessed. We are blessed of God to be saved, to be a son or a daughter of God. We read also in verses 19 through 25 that we have a sure hope. We also read that we have some infirmities in verse 26. But we also have the Holy Spirit who indwells within us to help us with those infirmities. We also read in verse 28 that we have the assurance that all things, and all things covers everything, that all things work together for good. We have that assurance. We have the assurance that God is in control, and the God who's in control has a purpose, and the God who's in control has a plan. And we read of that purpose, and we read of that plan in verses 29 through verse 31. We also read in verse 32 that God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And that Jesus Christ died, and that Jesus Christ rose again, and that Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, and that Jesus Christ now sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. We're told all of these things in Romans chapter 8. Now, in contemplation of all these things, Paul asks a question in verse 35. He says, who? You notice, it's not what, but it's who. That is, the things he mentions, he personifies. It makes it more real. He says, who shall separate? That is, who shall disconnect us from the love of God? Keep in mind, that is, according to verse 39, that is the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate? Who shall disconnect us from that love? Who shall detach us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Who shall isolate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Who shall disunite us? Who shall divide us from that love? Who shall pull us apart from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And then Paul goes on and he mentions seven things that would seem to be a threat. And then he answers his question. Again, the question is, who shall separate us? And then really seven more questions. Shall tribulation separate us? Shall distress separate us? Shall persecution, etc.? And then he answers the question in verse 37. He says, nay. In other words, no. None of these things can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He says, nay, in all these things, the things mentioned in verse 35, in all these things, we that are in Christ, we that have been saved by the grace of God, it's not we shall be, we are. Right now, even in the midst of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And may I say that loved us in Christ. So what we have in verse 37 is a shout of triumph. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that'll be our subject this morning. These words, we are more than conquerors, they're emphatic. They're very emphatic words. They are conclusive. It concludes everything that he has said up to this point in Romans chapter 8. We are more than conquerors. These are words that ought to reverberate, resonate, and boom forth. We are more than conquerors through Him. Through Him that loved us. These are words that we need to carry with us in our hearts. We are more than conquerors. We need to carry these words with us in our minds. We must believe these words. We are more than conquerors. It's true. We have a day coming of victory. That is true. But what this verse says is right now, we are more than conquerors. Every child of God, everyone who is in Christ, right now, is more than a conqueror. Through all circumstances, we are more than conquerors. Through all situations, whatever may come our way, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We ought to be able to draw some strength from those words. We are more than conquerors. We ought to be able to draw some encouragement from those words. We ought to be able to draw some inspiration from those words. In those words, Paul expresses a great confidence. We are more than conquerors. But it's not self-confidence. It's confidence in the Lord. We are more than conquerors through or by way of Him who loved us. So we pray that we would go from here today with these words upon our hearts. We are more than conquerors. These words speak of victory. There's no implication here of defeat. They are words of victory. There in verse 37, the word "we," of course, has reference to the saved individual. And we read, "we are." That is, in the present tense. It speaks of right now. But it also speaks of a continuous state, a never-ending state. In other words, I am more than a conqueror right this second, but I'll be that tomorrow too, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You see, it's never-ending. There will never be a time when a child of God is not a more than conqueror. It's always so. For the child of God. Our problem is, we just don't realize it. Our problem is, we don't live that way. We live as if we're defeated here, and we're just waiting for the day that we're caught up to be in heaven when we can enjoy victory. And no doubt, a victory is coming. But the Bible teaches us that right now we're victorious. We are more than conquerors. Now, the word conquers means one who successfully overcomes. Child of God is instructed to overcome. It is one who vanquishes an enemy. It is one who is victorious. It is one who triumphs. It is one who overthrows. It is one who defeats and one who subdues. Paul does not merely say that we're conquerors. He says we're more than conquerors. Those two words, "more than," are interesting words. We are more than conquerors. That is, we overwhelmingly conquer. This isn't something we're waiting for. This is now. Right now, we overwhelmingly conquer. It means that we conquer beyond and above that which is ordinary. We're not talking about an ordinary victory. We are more than conquerors right now. That is, we do more than overcome. We are more than conquerors. Again, that's not the language of conceit. That's the language of confidence in the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us that every single day. Every moment of every single day, we have the victory. We already have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, we read that we have overcome because greater is He. Greater is He in you than he that is in the world. Again, we read that word than. We are more than conquerors. Greater is He than he that is in the world. That word then indicates comparison. You put the one who dwells within you, which is God the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, the very Spirit of the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. That's what we read there in Romans chapter 8. You put that one side by side with anybody. You put that one side by side with anything. You put that one side by side with anybody, anything, at any time, at any place. And he's greater. And you know what that means? We are more than conquerors. Through him. No matter what, and no matter who you put side by side with the one who dwells within us, no matter when you do it, no matter where you do it, we are more than conquerors through Him that dwells within us. Why? Why do we live as if we're defeated? There is no need for the child of God to live a life of defeat. We are more than conquerors. That's either true or it's not. I believe it's true. We are more than conquerors. Through Him, you take any problem that you have at any time and any place, and I believe Romans 8 verse 37 is still true. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You take any trial, you take any difficulty, you take any need, you take any seeming impossibility, and Romans 8, verse 37 is still true. We that are saved are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That very truth ought to inspire us to press on. That very truth ought to cause us to thrive spiritually rather than just survive. We're not here today just to survive. We are here as God's children to thrive. To thrive spiritually. And when we get hold of that truth, we are more than conquerors through Him. That'll cause us to press on. That'll cause us to thrive. When people cease to press on, when they quit, it's because they feel that they've been defeated. But read Romans 8, verse 37. Again, this isn't talking about the future. It's talking about right now. We are more than conquerors. But notice here in verse 37, this is victory in the midst of an array of hosts. Notice, in all these things. In. The word in means in the very midst of. This is saying more than when tribulation comes upon you or when distress comes upon you or persecution or famine, etc. It's saying more than when these things come upon you. It's saying when you are in the very midst of these things. When you are surrounded by these things on all sides, in these things, we are more than conquerors. We need to get hold of that. We need to believe that. We need to dwell upon that. that whatever situation I find myself in, whatever situation I feel surrounded in and hemmed in by, in those things I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. He goes on, he mentions seven things. Again, the these things of verse 37 refers back to seven things that he mentioned in verse 35. Keep in mind that all important word, in all these things. When we're in the very midst of these things. The first thing he mentions is tribulation. The word tribulation speaks of pressure. Something that squeezes. Something that compresses us. It speaks of pressure from outside sources. I doubt if there is anyone here today, other than maybe infants, who does not feel pressure from some outside source. That's what this word tribulation is talking about. It is used in case of people who are bearing heavy burdens. Not only carrying heavy burdens, but these burdens are heavily pressing down upon them. An outward pressure. And this outward pressure can come from innumerable sources. In fact, Jesus promised in John 16 and verse 33, he says, "In the world you shall have tribulation." In the world you shall have these pressures. You can't escape it. It's going to happen. But he went on to say in the same verse, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And you see, we're in Christ. And when we find ourselves in those pressure situations, we are more than conquerors because He's already overcome it. And we are more than conquerors through Him. That means when the tribulations come, when the pressures come, and sometimes it's as if the pressures are coming from every direction. They're coming from the right, they're coming from the left, they're coming from in front of you, they're coming from behind you, they're from above, they're from beneath, everywhere you go. There's these pressures. But if we can only remember, in those times I'm still more than a conqueror through Him. In other words, I don't have to yield to the pressure. I don't have to, as a child of God, to give in to the pressure. As a child of God, I don't have to sink beneath the pressure. Why? Because I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loves me. You see, it's all in Him. It's not in us. The next thing he mentions is the word distress. And this refers to extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. It speaks of internal pressure. Tribulation speaks more of external pressure, where distress speaks more of internal. And of course, the external pressure can cause internal pressure. So we can have both these things at the same time, and we often do. We have tribulation, and we have distress. And many times we find ourselves in the very midst of them. This word distress refers to those times when your mind is pained. Your heart is pained. Your mind and heart is distracted. So much so that you do not know what to do. So much so that you cannot calm yourself. You cannot steady yourself. And what Paul is telling us, even in the midst of those situations, the child of God is still more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We've just got to believe that. We've got to know that. That word distress speaks of an inward despondency. It's like when our hearts and minds are being tossed to and fro, like the waves of the sea. And sometimes we can have this distress and all appears fine outwardly. But inwardly we're being tossed to and fro, and we find ourselves in the very midst of that situation. But Paul says, even in the very midst of that situation, we are more than conquerors through Him. We need to believe that. We need to know that. He goes on, he mentions persecution. And again, these things can come upon us at the same time. They can come individually. They can come at various times. But the word persecution refers to physical or mental suffering at the hands of another. We all experience some physical suffering at the hands of others. We all experience some mental suffering at the hands of others. And sometimes we find ourselves in the very midst of this thing. And that physical and mental sufferings can cause us the tribulation and the distress also. But even when in the very midst of it, we're still more than conquerors through Him. You see, I'll never be anything less than more than a conqueror through Christ. The next thing he mentions is famine. Now, you and I are not exposed to this as so much now. Those days may be coming. But we're not so much exposed to this now. But in Paul's time, it was very common. Very common. In Paul's time, the Christians were often banished and carried to places where they could not possibly make a living. They were taken from their families and their friends and their acquaintances. And they suffered the loss of all their goods. Hebrews chapter 11 makes mention of these individuals. And they could not find the necessary sustenance for their bodies. Paul experienced this famine. But even then, the child of God is more than a conqueror through Him. No matter what happens, as a child of God, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. The next thing he mentions is nakedness. Again, in Paul's time, when the child of God was prevented from working his trade, he was not able to procure the necessary funds, and his garments would eventually turn to rags. But even then, Paul says, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. He goes on and he mentions peril. The word peril simply speaks of danger. Danger of losing your life. It speaks of uncertainty. Speaks of problems and pitfalls. Exposure to death. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 26, he says that he was in perils of waters, that he was in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Paul is saying, no matter where I went, I was exposed to death. No matter where I went, there was this uncertainty whether or not I would live or die, whether or not I would continue to be free or to be cast into prison. But he says, even in those times, even in the very midst of that, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Through Christ. So even in the midst of perils, when we're surrounded by them, we're more than conquerors through Christ. The last thing he mentions there in verse 35 is the sword, which of course speaks of imminent death. Imminent death. And even when the child of God is faced with certain death, he's more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. He's more than a conqueror. He's victorious. So even if tribulation, distress, and persecution, and famine and nakedness, and peril and sword all meet together and come upon us, we are then and there more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us enough to come to this sin-cursed earth, go to the cross, go to the grave, overcome it all, rise again and ascend back into heaven and sit at the right hand of God for us. Through Him, we are more than conquerors. As children of God, we don't have to be dragged down by the circumstances of life. We all do get that way from time to time, but none of us have to be. We don't have to be dragged down because we're more than conquerors. And all these things that can come upon us at any time, even then, we're more than conquerors through Him. That ought to encourage us. That ought to inspire us to press on in the service of Christ. Are we happy with the way that things are progressing in this country? No. Is it what we would choose? No. But no matter what happens, as children of God, we're more than conquerors. Through Christ, we're more than victorious. And it's just about time that we started acting like it. It's about time that we started living like the conquerors that we are. Again, this is present tense. We are more than conquerors. But there is coming. There is coming a day. There is coming a day when you and I, as children of God, are going to step out of or be carried out of the tribulation, the distress, and the persecution, and the famine, the nakedness, and the peril, and the sword. There's coming a day when we're going to be carried out of it all, never, ever to return again. There's coming a day we're going to be lifted above it all, never to experience it again. Never to see it again. I'm going to be carried away from the sufferings of this present time that we read of in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to be carried into the glory of the Lord. That's a wonderful day. That's a day to look forward to. But even in the meantime, I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved us. During our journey through this world, we have storms, we have pains, we have sorrows, we have afflictions, we have difficulties, and in all these things right now, we're more than conquerors, but there's coming a day we're going to be lifted out of all of it. And all we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Things can get bad. Things can get bad overnight. But I don't think they're as bad as they're going to get. And they're certainly not as bad as they can get. But when it gets that way, God's people will be crying out, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's going to get bad enough where we're not going to want to hold on to anything in this life. But we're going to be pleading, even so come, Lord Jesus. So the very fact that we are more than conquerors right now, the very fact that there's coming a day when we'll be completely delivered from all these things into the joy, the delight, and the happiness, and the praise of all those in heaven singing, Thou art worthy, O Lord. But in the meantime, we have some things that we have to go through. We have some things that we have to be in. But let us always remember, when we're going through these things, when we're in the very midst of these things, and there doesn't seem to be any way out, remember that even then, we're more than conquerors through Christ. We're not to act like the unsaved act when they are in those things. We're to act like conquerors, because that's what we are. So, oh, how we ought to thank God today for Romans chapter 8. Thank God that you're in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can change that. No matter what happens, there is nothing that can change the fact that Jesus Christ saved my soul and I am a son of God. Nothing can change that. And I'm so thankful. There is no chance, there is no possibility, there is no threat that I am going to lose my salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in song.